If I said the phrase to you, I forgive you, what does that begin to stir up within you? For some of you, when you hear that phrase, you're like, thank you. I like hearing that phrase. For some of us, we're in another camp where it's, I hope I'm not in a situation where I have to say I forgive you. Because it starts to stir up all sorts of things. In all likelihood, we're in both those situations, even right now, where we're in a situation where we're maybe waiting for somebody to come to us and say, I forgive you, or somebody's waiting for us to go and say, I forgive you. This phrase, as easy it is for us just to simply say it, can be incredibly difficult for us to actually muster up the courage to do. Think of it like this: when with our children, often when they're little, something will go on. Maybe one of them hits the other one. I don't know if you've ever had that in your home. One of them will hit the other one, and you bring them both together. You go on a knee, and you're right in their eye level, and you say, "Okay, now you say sorry. Now you say, I forgive you." And we create this almost transactional moment for them that the only way to forgive your sibling or somebody else is if they actually apologize for what actually happened. Have we done that? Maybe you haven't done it with your kids, but maybe you had it done when you were a kid, that moment. I can see that moment clearly in my own home as a child, and I can see that moment very clearly as an adult with kids. Say sorry, now say I forgive you, and then hug. We leave out the hugging part now as adults. But we still, within ourselves, create this moment that the only way for me to offer forgiveness to somebody else is if they first offer an apology. Now, when we read the Gospels, it's very different than that. In all reality, what Jesus teaches us is simply forgive because you have been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. Don't wait for the apology. Offer forgiveness first in the moment. And so as we look at this under the banner of soul care, we're going to take a closer look at what forgiveness looks like in various ways and in how Rob Reimer kind of frames it for us and then how it applies to us as well. But first, we're going to read a passage from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? I mean, that'd be a lot for us, our kids, right? How many times should I forgive for this moment? Seven times? No? That should be good. Reasonable. But Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you had begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's pretty dramatic language, isn't it? Pretty clear language, too. The idea of this parable for Jesus is God is the master, we are the servants, and he has forgiven each one of us. And unless we are willing to forgive each other, then, the exact thing that we're offering somebody else is coming back to us. It's pretty stark, pretty black and white. And something that each of us has to wrestle with as we look to those around us. So how do we offer forgiveness? How do we deal with it? Because in this room, some of you might be feeling like, well, you have no idea what I've been through, what the transgression is against me. And you're right. I don't. But as I think about that, and as I think about situations within my own world, I often go back to that moment that Jesus was on the cross and he looks up to the sky and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They were doing the very worst to Jesus, and yet he still offered them a moment of forgiveness in the midst of it. So we may not know what is going on in your life, and we may not know the severity of it all, but here's what we do know from Scripture. It doesn't matter what the severity is. It matters what God has already told us to do. So let's jump in. In order for us to deal with or grasp with forgiveness, we need to learn to face it. In the first two verses of Matthew 18 there, it said, Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. You see, many of us try to forgive superficially, and I would suggest that that's likely what that experience was that we taught our kids. Say, I'm sorry, say, I forgive you, move on and separate. When in reality, our kids maybe have not actually faced the issue that was presented in front of them. They haven't faced the inner turmoil that is a result of what they have just gone through with their sibling, maybe. And in light, we've just created this sense of superficial forgiveness, but deep down in front of us, or within us, we're still holding on to all of it. You see, the healing that we are seeking requires confronting the pain that we have experienced. Confronting the pain we have experienced. And what is that for each one of us? Well, it's different across the board. Right? Oftentimes with children, it's usually physical. One of the kids hits another kid. So now you got to confront the actual pain that's happened in front of you. And not offer retaliation, but offer forgiveness. Maybe it's an internal wound that you have gone through that, and you're starting to think about the identity and the lies that we talked about the last couple of weeks and what those look like, and you have to really confront those things and go to the truth about who you are so you can offer forgiveness to somebody else. Facing the wound begins with honesty. Reimer writes, you cannot forgive what you haven't faced. We talked a little bit about that last week, that we can't confront those lies unless we have named them. Facing it identifies the debt. This is where we ask questions like, who hurt me? What did they take from me? Maybe emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually. I've shared this story in the past. My grandmother was in the hospital a number of years ago, and she was there for a hip surgery, getting a new hip put on. I always called her Bionic Grandma when I was younger because she had all sorts of these kinds of surgeries. And as she was in there, one of the healthcare aides was helping her get dressed, and she was telling the healthcare aide that it was hurting, and the healthcare aide wasn't listening, and they dislocated my grandma's knee, which then got infected, which then meant amputation. Pretty drastic story. And all the while, my aunts and uncles and were in the room and all discussing how can we start suing these doctors and this hospital for doing what they did to Mom and my grandma. says, I forgive them. No need to walk that path. And the joy that she carried, even with the health care aid, when they came back in, the ones who did the damage, she offered incredible forgiveness to them because she acknowledged internally what had gone on. She had confronted the story that she is only alive because of the amputation now. And she can't go back. And she was a beautiful woman, a beautiful character who really showed what it looked like in the midst of incredible consequence, what it looked like to forgive people in those moments. See, forgiveness doesn't minimize the pain, Reimer says. It names it and then releases it to God. So often we want to hold on to it, don't we? We want to hold on to the pain. We want to let the people around us know how bad they hurt us. Everything that they did. We don't want to let go of it. A little while ago, Mason was a little bit younger and we were out sledding and I was pulling him around and I whipped him around because dads are fun. Right, I whipped him around the corner and he went face first into the playground set. Dads are fun. We went to the hospital and we sat in the waiting room and we got into the room and the doctor came in and the doctor said, tell me what's going on. And Mason looked at him and said, my dad did this to me. I got really nervous in that moment. And the doctor said, it's okay if he's that honest about it. We're not worried about what's happening at home. He acknowledged it as a young boy, what had gone on. Knew it was an accident. Knew there wasn't purpose behind it and said, Dad, I forgive you in his sort of way. But too often we want to hold on to everything that's going and we try to like maximize the pain because we feel like if we release it to God, we're minimizing what had gone on to us in our lives. Next thing that we do, we need to face the wound. We need to learn what it is. We need to embrace it. We need to deal with it. And then we need to release it. We need to release it. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, here's the reminder for us, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Releasing it is an act of the will. See, Reimer says this, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's an act of obedience. There's that word again. We talked about that a few months ago, that word obedience. Worship is obedience to God. Forgiveness is obedience to God, and we don't like obedience. When there are rules, they are made to be broken, right? At least for me, they were. And I think for many of us, when we see the line, we look to cross the line, or how far we can get across the line. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but it's an act of obedience. How many of you have said, I don't feel like forgiving somebody? I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I want to hold on to it. Every day we can choose to forgive somebody, even though we don't feel like forgiving them. And what forgiveness says to somebody else is, you don't owe me anymore. You see, we're waiting for that moment of the sorry, the apology. I'm not going to forgive you until you say you're sorry. You owe me something. And until that moment happens, I'm not forgiving you, and I'm going to make sure you know I don't forgive you. And all that does is create this anxiety within ourselves. Releasing it, trusts God with justice. It trusts God with justice. Reimer says these words about it. Forgiveness is transferring the debt to God. You are trusting that He is just and will handle it rightly. Yeah, but I want to be the one. I want to be the one to tell somebody they're wrong. I want to be the one to give them the consequence. I want to be the one to see them go through pain. That's how we hold on to that, isn't it? Maybe not to that degree, but we certainly do it. Maybe not with people outside of our circle. Maybe even look within your own home. How often do you hold on to it just like that? I'm going to show Jen how much she's wrong. Do you do it? I do. And yet Scripture is a constant reminder for us that we are to forgive as He forgave us. We are to forgive as He forgave us. Until we're really ready to be honest about all the things that we are going through, all the things that we are thinking about, we are not ready for the Holy Spirit to come within us and change us into who we are to be. You see, when we refuse to forgive, when we've refused to trust God with the justice that of who He is, we are acting as judge and jury. And whose role is that? It's God's. It's not mine. It's not yours. And it allows us to let go. And then releasing it allows us to bless. In Luke chapter 6, verse 28, it says, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." That's a hard one, isn't it? I like to look at it maybe a little bit softer as I look at that. Be nice to those who don't like you. Simply be nice. But to take it a step further, bless those who curse you. Pray for them. Pray that God would be in their life. Pray that God would transform them, not into the image that you want for them, but that God wants for them. Reimer says it this way: "You know you have truly forgiven when you can bless the person who hurt you. You know you have truly forgiven when you can bless the person who hurt you." One of the ways I've said it to individuals in the past is when we come in and we talk about forgiveness and those things, I say, "Can you walk into the building where the people hurt you and actually smile and look at them with humility and honesty that you were there and it's a joy to see them?" And when we ask that question, usually there's two frames of mind that usually pop in. There's this inner anxiety that begins to build up and you begin to tense up and say, "No, I can't do that." Then we haven't fully forgiven yet. Or on the flip side, we say, "You know what, I don't know if I can, but I'll try. I'll walk in. I'll see what can happen here." A little while ago, I got to do that very experience walking into the last church that we served in. And the whole drive there, an hour and 17 minutes or so, I was shaking at the wheel, not sure if I'd be able to actually walk in to this building. And then I pulled into the parking lot and I looked to the far side and I saw the red station wagon that always parked there even when I was there. I knew exactly the vehicle it was. It's like you guys in your seats, right? You have your spots. And I pulled in and I pulled right beside and all of a sudden there was this sense of peace and being at home again. Because I knew who was in the room. And I knew there were people that cared for my family and I in there. And I walked in with joy. For the first time in 6 years. It was very interesting. Forgiveness allows us to walk freely. When we let go of the pain and the hurt, the frustrations, We're able to walk in a freedom that we didn't know existed. And it's one that each one of us is seeking over and over and over again. And so forgiveness sets you free. Let's look at this quote for a second. Forgiveness sets the prisoner free. Comes from Reimer's book, Soul Care. Forgiveness sets the prisoner free. And you're like, you're right, it does. I've just set them free because I forgave them. That's how we feel about it, isn't it? Oh, Jen has no idea how good she has it when I've forgiven her. Oh, that's how we feel. It's how we talk. It's what we think. Forgiveness has set the prisoner free, and then you discover the prisoner was you. Is how Reimer finishes the quote. Soon you begin to realize that that forgiveness that you were unwilling to offer has created this toxic pool within your soul. And then when the moment that you have forgiven, all of a sudden, things begin to change within you. And you begin to experience freedom from that very thing that has chained you, that has created this burden within you, this bondage within you. When you forgive, you break the chains that tie your soul to past pain. This sounds wonderful, doesn't it? You don't have to raise your hand, but if I asked you how many of you are still experiencing pain to this day, I would guess that in some measure or another, all of us would be able to raise our hands. Because we're all feeling it. We're all experiencing it. And we're all allowing these chains to tie us and bond us to the pain of the past instead of the freedom of the soul that God can offer each one of us. Forgiveness then restores intimacy with God. You see, we can't live fully alive while harboring resentment to others. There's this separation that begins to exist as we read in the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew, of this blockage that happens because of the unwillingness to offer forgiveness to somebody else. The master sends him to jail and everything. Gives him punishment because he is unwilling to model the same thing that he had been modeled, and that's forgiveness. Imagine for a second if that servant went to the other servant and forgave him his debts. What would that create? It would create a greater intimacy with the experience of forgiveness that he had with his master. And so for us, as we look at what's going on with our own world, and maybe some of us are saying here this morning, I don't experience the same intimacy with God that I desire. Maybe something's blocking it. And it's not something that God has done that's blocking it. It's something that we are either actively doing or actively undoing, not doing, that is creating this separation from God. Maybe we need to look within our own souls and say, where do I need to offer forgiveness to somebody else? Where am I harboring resentment to somebody? Where am I harboring pain? Where am I harboring bitterness? No matter how big or small, to somebody else. In order to get to the intimacy that we are desiring to have with God, we need to listen to the words that God has put in front of us and actually do them. And maybe today for you, that starts with this simple act of forgiveness. Forgiveness opens the door to healing for us. It opens the door to healing. This next week, I'm going to prayer retreat and with a number of other pastors in our district here. And I can say that I'm kind of looking forward to speaking with my old coworker Last year, I would not have said that very thing. Last year, I would have avoided, I would have hid, I would have been looking in the crowd and seeing, okay, where are they? Okay, they're there, I'm going this way instead. They're sitting over here, I'm going to sit over here. And it was the seed of resentment that was still there that I allowed to fester within my soul. And now looking into this year, I'm looking forward to that maybe one conversation that we have. The one moment. But more than that, I'm looking forward to God's presence dwelling more fully in who I am. Just as Reimer says, when you forgive, you make room in your soul for God's presence to dwell more fully. Our vision statement here is that we exist to introduce people to Jesus so they may receive the fullness of life. When you forgive, you give God you give room in your soul for God's presence to dwell more fully. When you forgive, you are able to receive fullness of life. Just one moment of it. So, who do you need to forgive? Maybe you don't need to forgive somebody outside of yourself. Maybe you need to simply start with forgiving yourself. Sometimes that's the harder one to do because you're listening to the lies and the things that you have been told about who you are that aren't actually true. So maybe you need to start today, this moment, right now, saying, you know, for that thing I did last week, last year, 20 years ago, I forgive myself for it. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore because I want to experience the transforming freedom that forgiveness has to offer through the power of Christ. Maybe you need to forgive your spouse for something. Maybe you've been harboring resentment and bitterness towards them for years, and every day you wake up and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, but you put on a good face and you go through the tasks that you are going through, but you are simply surviving in your marriage. Maybe you need to forgive. Maybe you need to forgive parents. Maybe you need to forgive siblings. And the list can go on and on. And maybe for you, you're sitting here saying, well, the person I have to forgive actually isn't alive anymore. And one thing you can do is simply write a letter to them and then burn the letter. Letting go of it. Offering it to God. Maybe you want to write the letter and keep it. Not to continue holding resentment, but to continue reminding you what it looks like to forgive somebody. See, I think all of us in this room have somebody we need to forgive still. No matter how big or small. This week, I'll end on a lighthearted note. This week, Daxton made the decision. Daxton's five. Daxton made the decision that now is the time to upset his father almost to the most that he possibly could. Daxton ordered his first ever Oilers jersey. And it brings tears to my eyes that I sat at my computer, used my own credit card, and purchase this thing for this young man. That is rubbing salt in the wound. And to some degree, though, I have to offer him forgiveness. As silly as it all sounds, Sometimes these are the things that fester the most resentment in our lives. A couple that I know, I'll use a hockey analogy again. The husband's a Montreal Canadiens fan, the wife is a Boston Bruins fan. There's a lot of resentment in that house, especially at playoff time when they're playing one another. There's no dialogue, there's no talking, there's just hatred. But these are the moments where those seeds of resentment really start to come in. And I've been pushing off Daxon for so long, 5 years, saying no, 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 trying to convert him back. Kind of sowing seeds of resentment in my own heart towards my son. In that moment of ordering, he asked me this morning, Dad, is it here yet? No. But that moment of ordering was me saying, son, we can still thrive together even though we're going to rub. We're going to have fun doing it. We're going to have great conversations around it. And we're going to talk positively to each other about it. And it's not going to sow seeds of anger or resentment towards one another. It's going to sow seeds that join us together through that one simple act. So who do you need to forgive? No matter how small or how big. Let's pray. Jesus, one, we thank you that you forgive each one of us. We thank you that you went to the cross and that you died on the cross, carrying our sins on your shoulders. In that same breath, Jesus, in the Gospels, you teach us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And so, Jesus, teach us, show us, reveal in our hearts people that we are to forgive. Jesus, we're already all feeling it. We're already all seeing pictures of the people in which we are holding some measure of bitterness or resentment towards. And so, Jesus, I would ask that you would give us each today even a moment where we are able to have a conversation with that individual. And offer a hand of forgiveness. Not for their benefit, really, but for our own. Jesus, continue to teach us what it looks like to not hold resentment or bitterness to ourselves, but live a life open-handed to you, learning from you, learning what it means to be obedient to you and forgiving others, so that we can experience fullness in you. So Jesus, guide us, we pray. Amen.
Let's just stand together as we sing one last song and just take the opportunity to continue to hear God's voice in our hearts about forgiveness and coming to terms with, you know, maybe there is someone we have to forgive that we haven't gotten to yet.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thou presence my light. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou Great God of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still
You can take a seat for a moment again as we close our service. As always, one of our consistent things that we want to do is have elders available to pray with you. So if you're wanting prayer, maybe it's simply for the courage to go and forgive somebody. Just come up to the front on this side. Our elders might be in conversations or something, but we'll notice and we'll come and pray with you if that's something that you would like to have. This coming week, from Monday to Thursday, I'll be out of the office at prayer retreat. Saren's still in the office. Julie's in a class all week, so she'll be mostly unavailable as well. But I'm always reachable anyway. It's just it might take some time. So I'm away for that. This Thursday, there's still soul care happening, 6:30 to 8 o'clock Thursday night. Again, if this is something that you want to invest your time into, it's worthwhile to walk through these things in soul care. And one more that's not on the slides. FCSS does a program every winter, coming into winter, Coats for Families. And this year in particular, they're looking for gently used ladies' jackets. Kat was there earlier this week and saw that there was really nothing in there for ladies' jackets. So we want to partner with FCSS. If you're like, I don't have any lightly used coats, and you say, I have a little bit of money that I can put towards something, please reach out to me, and we would be happy to use that to purchase whatever we need to purchase. And we'll be looking at hats and toques and mitts and that kind of stuff for them as well, as we seek to be missional in our community right here. As you go, may you be transformed by the power of Christ in your life. Julie's telling me to wait. November 19th, 6:30 to 8. It's not up there. November 19th, it's a Wednesday night. From 6:30 to 8, we are hosting a traditional worship night. Music, readings, all sorts of fun stuff. The group that's going to be playing is going to be intergenerational. It's going to be a really awesome evening together, worshiping God together. In a more traditional kind of format, it'll be beautiful to do it together. So write it on your calendars. It was in the email, I believe, November 19th, 6:30 p.m., right here for a traditional worship night. So as you go, and bring your friends. It's free. There's no charge. It'll be a great night together. But as you go, may you be transformed by the power of Christ in your life. And as you encounter other people, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, cashiers, servers. May you introduce them to Jesus so they may also experience the same transforming power of Christ in their lives. Have a great week.